Let us turn for our scripture reading to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Read this chapter together. And in a few moments we'll come to focus on a few verses. Psalm 116, verse 1. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I unto the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly, I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. We're going to come then back to Psalm 116 here. Consider some thoughts in this text tonight. Especially want to consider for the Christian that our souls are needy, but also that God has provided a bountiful provision. Especially out of verse 7, if you will, turn to that verse. Hear God's word, verse 7. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord, for Jehovah, hath dealt bountifully with thee. This psalm, that is Psalm 116, is a very personal psalm. It is one that says, I, and me, and my, throughout the whole psalm. I'm sure you noticed somewhat those phrases, those words, as we went through a few moments ago and read it. It says, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Verse 2, because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. And so on through the psalm. This is in great contrast to the psalm just before it. Psalm 115, which we've been looking at in prayer meeting, which is a corporate psalm. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name. And it goes through. And it speaks in the plural, the corporate idea, the church, instead of the individual. But tonight, this Psalm 116 is speaking of the individual. This is a personal testimony, if you will, of the psalmist. Could be David, could be another. The Spirit of God has not preserved a title for us. It's not given us a title. Many think it is David. Perhaps it is so upon one of his deliverances from Saul or Absalom or something of that nature. But either way, it is a personal thing, and let us, as we look at this, make it our personal matter. As David, or the psalmist here, speaks to his own soul, he's in verse 7, he's really talking to himself, if you will. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. He tells his soul that the Lord has dealt bountifully with me. So let's make it a personal psalm tonight. The psalmist had been in great straits. Verse 3 says, the sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Something that had happened to the psalmist, not currently his position. As you can see, the Lord had delivered him. He helped me in verse 6. He preserved me in verse 6 as well. This probably was not limited to David's soul or to the psalmist's soul, but it probably also included outward circumstances. Instances where maybe perhaps even his physical life was at stake. The psalmist here is saying then that even in these things, inward and outward, he had these troubles. Tonight, we want especially not to neglect the inward, the soul troubles, since we are at the table of the Lord. The saints suffer much in their souls. You, my brother and my sister, you suffer much in your souls. Have you not found trouble and sorrow? Have you not seen at some points the sorrows of death compassing the pains of hell getting hold of you in various ways? Perhaps the sins of our youth cry against us as it did David when he spoke in Psalm 25, remember not the sins of my youth. Perhaps the lack of progress and fruit in the Christian life is like the sorrows of death to your soul. You think, I'm dying on the vine, as it were. I'm not producing. I'm not fruitful. I don't seem to be growing. Perhaps you've had frightful battles in your own soul, in your mind, with the devil, or with just the astonishing wickedness of your own heart that God reveals to us from time to time. Is it not then as if hell is getting hold of you? As David said. Perhaps you've gone through a time when we've mourned our wasted hours, our wasted strength and affections and money that we have put on temporal things more than we ought instead of eternal things. That can be trouble, sorrow to us. Let our prayerlessness. Perhaps we study the Bible, read the Bible mechanically, or to check off a list. Instead of believing what we read, instead of rejoicing in the promises, instead of trembling at the threatenings and obeying the commands. These things to the Christian are troubles. These are pains. These are sorrows. Have not you, my fellow Christian, Have not I found soul troubles and sorrows? They found this out, haven't they? Psalm continues on that the prophet calls for deliverance, and he's delivered. He said, "Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver me." This is verse 4. "Gracious is the Lord, righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me." Verse 8, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." Can we not look back? Perhaps even if maybe we're in currently one of these situations, which very well may be, the devil doesn't like to rest, does he? Accused of the brethren. Remember how he did Job. Always looking for opportunities to stick the saints. But perhaps you can think back on others that you have called upon the Lord and He's delivered you. Whatever the case is, we mentioned there are others that were the sorrows of your soul, the pains of hell, troubles. And Christ came near and delivered. When all hope in your own soul was gone, you thought you would be consumed, but you'd be completely, forever fruitless. You'll never be able to read your Bible like you want to. You'll never be able to pray like you desire. And yet God mercifully, as it says here, came and yea, preserved the simple. Isn't that great? It doesn't say He preserved the wise here, does it? He preserves the simple. It encourages me. You look at Proverbs and it says the simple man is the man that needs instruction. In chapter 1. Boy, that's me. Perhaps it's you. But even us that need instruction, God says He preserves. He preserves His own that are simple. He was brought low and He helped me. And you know, look back at low points in your life and see the help of God. The help of Christ. Why? Because He's gracious. He's righteous. He's merciful. He draws near to His saints and to their cries. Sometimes He waits long, yes, but yet He comes in the appointed time. Comes in the appointed time. Remember, when it is the appointed time, you look back at Psalm 18, later if you will, that God will do whatever it takes to get to His people. He will compass sea and land. He will cause Himself to ride upon the clouds. Whatever it takes. When the time of deliverance has come, it will come. They will not tarry. It will be fulfilled. Think back then upon those times when God and Christ has helped you and delivered you. I want to focus now upon verse 7. "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." The psalmist looking backwards then upon, in this case, a recent deliverance. I trust we have recent deliverances. But if not, we've had past deliverances, no doubt, for a Christian. In the more distant past. Think back upon them. As we said, He helped us. He preserved us. And in this verse 7, there's a call that we need to make to our own souls. We need to start to think to ourselves. To start to speak to ourselves. Sometimes we think it's funny, you know, when we hear somebody talking to themselves. But in this case, it's a serious thing. As David said in another place, commune with your own heart. Deal with yourself. The first thing we need to do is call our souls to go back to a former state. He says, return. Go back somewhere. This is a word, return, is used so many times. I'll test, I think, about 1,000 times. It can be, it's a word for repentance, or for turning around, various things. But to turn, or to turn back, to return, is the idea. And one of the early usages of this word is in Genesis 3:19. This is, of course, the curse of God upon man after we fell in Adam. It says this, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Used twice there, same word. In this case, God is telling Adam, we were made out of dust. That was our original state. We were going as a body, going to return to that state. I think we ought to understand this passage here in the same idea. We need to return to a former state. We need to exhort our souls to go back to something we enjoyed before. We need to turn about, having considered this deliverance, and in the future when we have deliverances in our souls, think with ourselves, soul, return. But where are we to return? What is the state that we need to go back to? Notice what it says, return unto thy rest, O my soul. My rest. For a Christian, we've had rest of our souls, haven't we? We came to Jesus as we were, sinful, polluted. Christ says He is a physician, not to the whole, not to those that are well, but to who? Those that are sick. When we came, were we not healed? Was not our maladies, our diseases taken care of? The guilt and the power and the pollution of sin, were they not cleansed? You don't see how the power even in the presence of sin is continuing to be broken, continuing to fall as Dagon did before the ark. These sins falling before Christ. Return to thy rest. It's a place of security, place of nourishment, where we can repose ourselves, a place of comfort. Again, you think back to Genesis, this word rest is used there. Genesis 8 and verse 9. This is the context of Noah and the ark. Remember, the floods were receding and Noah was sending forth a dove from him. Verse 8, to see if the waters were abated off from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. But she couldn't find a place to rest her foot. To place it. Somewhere to abide. So the dove returned back to Noah. Same word there too, return, if I remember right. The dove found no place to secure herself, to comfortably sit down, to find nourishment, to repose. We are to return to that condition of rest, of reposing ourselves. The ark, spoken of by David, that needs to be a place built for the ark to rest. To be situated, to abide, to quit roaming, to quit being moved about in a tabernacle. Remember, the tabernacle was that tent that traveled with Israel, but it was a traveling. It was made to travel. And the temple was a permanent, a fixture. God is telling us here, speak to our souls, return to that place of abode, a place of rest. The place we may abide. Where is that rest to be found? Where does our souls abide? Where can we have that nourishment, that comfort, that security? Is it not in Jesus? Is it not in Jesus? How many times does he say in the Gospels, come unto me? In Isaiah, look unto me, all the ends of the earth. Come, buy without money, without price. He says that to his believing people too. That's what we're really speaking tonight. We're not speaking of those that are coming anew to Christ. This is a table for those that are already in Christ. Our souls still have these troubles, but when we're looking back upon the deliverance, we don't need to keep roaming and thinking, well, what's going to come next? Am I going to be delivered this time? How is God going to defend me in the future? No, let us take deliverance of Christ. Let us take that first joy, that first repose, that first time our souls cast the anchor, as old John Knox said, in Christ. Go back to that place of resting, of reposing our souls completely in Him. Having no righteousness of our own. Having no cleansing means of our own. No way to work ourselves into glory. But simply, I think as it's the old Scottish theologians, Haley Burton, I think is his name, said, just acquiesce afresh in God's way of salvation. Salvation is justification, sanctification, and glorification, adoption. Can we acquiesce again and rest there? Quiet our souls there? There's a reason we need to do this. Because the verse continues, doesn't it? Because this is the reason the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. That's a great reason, isn't it? To go back to Christ's perfect work and righteousness. Because He, the Lord our righteousness, has dealt bountifully with us. Dealt bountifully there, the word really just means to deal or to treat. Bountifully is one way, could be also judgment. Really, dealt bountifully translates one word in the original. I think it's obvious here that is a correct translation. You see how verse 6 is, or verse 5 and 6 is merciful. He's gracious, He's righteous. He preserved the simple. He was brought low and He helped me. Verse 8, He delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. This is a bountiful dealing. This is a good dealing. This is a profitable dealing to the soul of His servant. This is the reason then to go afresh to Christ. Again, remember, why do we have soul troubles? Because of our sin, isn't it? Because of our sin. And yet, remember what John says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous. Who is the propitiation of our sins? Can we find a better place to rest? Can we find a better place to tell our souls to go? Repose thyself there. As it were the dove, set thy feet down on that rock. The rock of Christ. We have a lawyer. We have an advocate, a mediator there. Does Christ ever lose a case? Don't think so. We have a propitiatory sacrifice there. Does Christ's sacrifice atone for our sins? Is there a sin that Christ died for that ever is not propitiated? No. My brother and my sister, look to that place of rest again. Return, go back. Don't rest in ourselves. Don't just go along in life. But consciously speak to your soul. O my soul, return. Go back to that first love, that first trust in Christ, that first rock, which is really the only rock, that first righteousness, which is the only righteousness and the only blood, and rest there. Sit down there. Comfort thyself there. Repose. Be nourished. What does Jesus expressly tell us? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And what? I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And ye shall find what? Rest for your souls. May God grant that we might go again to rest in Christ as we come even to think upon Him in the table tonight. Amen.